Now as ever, a Teen Wolf fanfiction by Venus Envy, Chapter 4. The house is quiet Sunday morning, almost eerily. No commotion can be heard through the open bedroom door, none of the voices one would expect in a house full of children on a day there's no school. Derek tells Stiles Sunday is a family day, and that he has to go, but Stiles is welcome to hang around. He pulls some jeans and a t-shirt out of his dresser and lays them at the foot of Stiles' bed, along with a thick jacket, tells him to help himself to the shower, and that there's cereal in the kitchen. Derek showers and leaves, and Stiles tries to sleep, but it never comes. Finally, he gives up. Taking the clothes Derek left for him, Stiles makes his way to the bathroom and enjoys a long, hot shower. It eases the ache in his muscles and washes the residual grime of the forest floor off his skin. The soap smells like Derek. Not this Derek, the one he's come to know over the last 18 hours, but his Derek. Stiles breathes in the scent, washes himself in memories he isn't even sure are his anymore. They'd only recently begun to develop something Stiles could consider a friendship. Beacon Hills had finally settled into some semblance of normal, despite its supernatural residence. The Alpha Pack had moved on, no more Canima to worry about, no signs of Gerard, and even Chris Argent had faded into the shadows, leaving them to their lives. There should have been nothing left to hold them together, but Stiles couldn't help the draw to Derek. With Scott spending all of his time with Isaac and Boyd and Erica gone, Stiles and Derek had only each other. It started out with tentative meetings about what wasn't going on in Beacon Hills, progressed to late-night text conversations, and somewhere shortly after, Stiles found himself sitting in an unfinished treehouse, overlooking part of the Hale property with Derek by his side. It was then that Stiles learned Derek actually is capable of smiling. "You know why you're stuck with me?" Stiles had asked, popping a handful of cashews into his mouth to buy some time to think. Derek quirked an eyebrow at him. "It's because you're an enigma, Derek. No one can get close to you, because no one knows anything about you besides what they see on the surface." "And what, you think you do?" Derek asked. Stiles shrugged, chewed on his last few cashews, then licked the salt from his palm. He thinks he imagined Derek watching him as he did that, imagined he'd seen the way Derek's gaze had darted away as soon as Stiles turned his full attention toward him. "I like to think I'm pretty skilled when it comes to reading people. I'll only ever know what you tell me, but I can see the kind of person you are. You're not a bad guy, just a little lost." Derek watched Stiles for a moment, contemplative, then smiled and shook his head. Stiles pushes that memory from his mind, tries not to think at all, just washes as the soapy water sluices off his body and whirls down the drain. He leaves a note on Derek's bed, thanking him for letting Stiles stay and promising to return his clothes eventually. Stiles still isn't sure what to do or where to go, but he just can't hang around the Hale house until the family gets home. He's sure that would be overstaying his welcome. Stiles has a split-second thought about going out into the forest and finding Derek's treehouse, but dismisses it before it's had a chance to fully form. He's certain he knows what family day means for the Hales, and he doesn't want to be caught out on their property during any pack bonding or practice time. He heads to the edge of town instead, cautiously skirting the busy shopping district so as not to be seen by any of the passersby. It feels like hours have ticked by in which Stiles just walks, thinks, and tries to ignore the cold bite of wintry air whipping against his face. He has to do something. Stiles has always been the forward thinker, the one who would visualize various possible outcomes and try to plan accordingly for each, the one who tries to stay two steps ahead of the action so as not to be caught off guard. Nothing like this could have ever been anticipated, though. In a short time as a partisan of the supernatural, Stiles still would have never thought time travel to be a real thing. Yet, here he is, wandering around aimlessly, a decade behind his time, a teenage werewolf, his only ally. Stiles feels sick to his stomach. He stops long enough to lean against a light post, pressing the heels of his hands to his eyes. "Focus, Stiles," he tells himself, thunking his head back against the pole and gazing up at the crisp blue sky. It hits him like a white-hot flash of lightning, shuddering through his reverie as he picks up his journey on the outskirts of Beacon Hills. Stiles needs to find Deaton, Deaton will know what to do. Styles is sure of it. He almost laughs with a giddy sense of relief. He's never been very close to him, even skeptical of him at times. But this version of Deaton, here and now in 2003, doesn't know Styles anyway, so it won't matter. Deaton is surprisingly, well, unsurprised, greeting Styles by name before he'd even introduced himself to the man, and knocking Styles' defenses for a loop. He quickly rectified, telling Styles that Peter Hale had called him last night, wanting to know if Deaton had been aware of any missing persons reports from the area. If Styles hadn't known any better, he would have thought it very strange for a man to contact a veterinarian with such a question. Fortunately, though, Styles knows Peter Hale isn't a normal man. He wonders what it was he'd done to pique Peter's suspicion. Styles wasn't sure how to even begin to explain his current predicament, so after glancing around at the thankfully vacant veterinary clinic and seeing that the man filing papers at the counter was alone, he had just come right out with it. There was a brief moment of hesitation, as if Deaton had been concerned Styles was just some run-of-the-mill ranting lunatic, but when his explanation had spilled over into the territory of werewolves and Canima, confirming his knowledge of the supernatural realm, Deaton couldn't not believe him. It's only now, as they sit in the vet's office, sharing a sandwich, that Styles even has the presence of mind to wonder what he would have done if this version of Deaton was completely oblivious to werewolves and magic and bizarre things that no normal humans actually believe in. He's grateful that isn't the case. Deaton is still Deaton, still contemplative and pensive, smiling over things no one has any right to smile about, eyes shining with wonder as he takes it all in. "I'll need some time to look into this," he says. "I've only ever heard of the theoretical possibility of time travel. I've never heard of anyone actually pulling it off before."
"I'd love to be able to say I pulled it off," Styles replies.
"Pulling it off would imply it was something I did deliberately. But trust me, there was nothing intentional about this."
"That you know of," is Deaton's cryptic reply.
Styles is chewing on an obscenely large bite of sandwich and is unable to respond before Deaton continues on to a more prevalent problem that Styles hadn't even thought of. "What will you be doing in the meantime? For food and shelter, I mean." With only $8 left in his pocket, you'd think this would have been something Styles had considered. His facial expression must give away the fact that he hasn't, because Deaton just continues. "You said you stayed with the Hales last night, but, as far as you know, they aren't aware of your predicament."
"I'm sure they're all aware of something," Styles says.
He wonders what he smelled like to them yesterday, to Derek and his mom at any rate. They were the only two close enough to him to really scent him, and he knows they both did. Had Styles smelled like dirt and leaves and anxiety to them, or something otherworldly, unthreatening, but from a different time and place? "I mean, Peter had to have a reason for calling you last night, right?" "They're always curious about new people in their territory. Just the fact that they hadn't seen you before or heard of any new people moving to the area would have piqued his curiosity. But coupled with the fact that you seemed to not remember where you were from, well, of course," he wondered. "It makes sense. Styles only knows one version of Peter Hale, but even in their future world, the man always seems to have information on things he shouldn't. Of course, he'd be the one to always ask questions to anyone he thought could provide answers." "You could help me out around the clinic a few days a week," Deaton cuts through Styles' thoughts. "There isn't much to be done on a Sunday, but it'll earn you some money to live off of and a warm place to sleep for now. There's a couch in the back office." Styles smiles gratefully. "Thank you," he says. "I really appreciate it."